Our scripture is taken from Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's good to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day that we have to come together to worship our Lord and our Savior. This day that we know comes every seventh day and will continue through eternity. And one day soon we'll be able to gather on each Sabbath to be with our Savior, to sit at the foot of the great white throne of our God, to worship our God and our Savior. As we've talked about this morning and already, the distress that has come upon us now, especially at these times. We've always had distress, but it seems to be getting worse and worse. That there of everything happening individually and the stress of nations, but the distress that we're having and seeing the things falling into place to bring the end times, to bring the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this week, Detroit is going to try and take bankruptcy because of the finances that they have. We know that the finances of the government itself is not good. They're trying to save the nations over in Europe by another nation paying their bills or helping them do that. And I wonder when it comes to the United States if that would happen, because we know for sure that one day soon we are going to claim bankruptcy. It's going to be a part of the overall plan, and it's going to help us usher in where we cannot buy or sell, throw in all these laws that are going to be especially against God's people. So we know that we need to be ready. And we know that we can't have the power to overcome, the power to be ready for the Lord Jesus coming. And that is the power of the righteousness of God, which Paul had. So we're going to talk about Paul this morning and the righteousness that he had and the power in doing the work that God had commissioned him to do. So let's have a word of prayer. Yes, our Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that we pull from the depths of the living well, the water that is so necessary, needed, Father, the living word, that we may live the life that you have commanded us, to follow your commandments all the way, regardless of what comes about us. We know that very soon that your people will be blamed for their catastrophes of the world, of all things, the disasters that are happening, the financial collapse and everything. And then that Sunday laws will be put into force. And finally, the death decree. And we know at that time for surety that we have to be grounded in the truth, to be trusting in the Lord. For many of us will be thrown in jail. Many of us may have to go on trial for our faith. And we pray at that time the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say, to help us through these trying times. We can have that power right now, the power, the righteousness of the living God. So, Father, we just pray that as we look at Paul's life, that we may see that same power that he had and have it in each one of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the saving power that streams from the cross. We're going to look at chapter 1 of Romans today. So if you would turn to Romans 1. Romans 1, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. You know, as one studies the book of Romans, it becomes clear that the good news of the gospel, that's the saving message of the crucified Lord, that alone is mankind's only hope. That's our only hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. We know that the gospel has divine power, that it can transform the helpless sinner into a loving son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. And the Apostle Paul had such an experience. It had separated him from a life of sin and consecrated him to the life of the service for God. So let's look at verses 1 through 8 of Romans 1. 1 through 8. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the call of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So as we see these words there, and after this he affirms the great conviction of the message of the cross. We can look at his confession there in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We can also look at his statement in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Yes, the word of God, our guide and our direction, our device. Look at in this first chapter of Romans. Let's focus upon the messenger and the message that he has for his recipients. The messenger is Paul the Apostle. His opening marks there in Romans 1:1-8 portrays his role as a special herald called on by God to proclaim the tidings of peace and salvation. The Lord put his words on his lips of his messenger, and as we have read there in verses 1-8, he is one who speaks through him, and his word is not just breath and sound. It is effective power, and that power that Paul has that we can have today ourselves. Paul is nothing less than the Lord's authorized messenger. In the first verse, he introduces himself as Paul, a servant of God called to be an apostle. We are able to see that he saw himself as a divinely summoned to deliver a message of restoration, not only to the Jewish nation, but to the entire human race, living in a state of separation of sin from the world. We know that Paul was born in the city of Tarsus, which was mainly a non-Jewish settlement, even though he was a Jew. He belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. His parents were devout Jews and had him receive training, you know, under able and Jewish scholars, so that he would have this knowledge there. We know that the Pharisees were very jealous for their vision of Judaism. So according to Galatians 1:14, the apostle agreed with this type of thinking. And Paul boasts there in Galatians 1:14. Let's look there quickly. Galatians 1:14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul was devoted to the point of where he sought to make a scorched earth out of the world and out of the church itself. His zeal was indirected and changed when he met the risen Lord at on the road to Damascus. It completely changed his life forever. But before that experience that he had there on the road, his great passion and intensity to earn God's favor kept him going on the track that he was going. But now he was content with Christ because Christ offered him so much. He was glorified in what God had done for him. And instead of the pride of self-accomplishments, Paul was able to see his role as a servant, as a slave for God. He acknowledged his dependency and his obligations toward his master, Jesus Christ, and we have to do that self. Our obligation to the Lord Jesus Christ to give Christ the honor that was due that, and he did that very effectively. Paul called an apostle, who said it himself, and that is one that has been sent. He thinks of himself as only having received a commission. But he believed that God had called him, commissioned him, and he realized they'd appoint him to a mission of service to God himself. He had the conviction that he was enabled him to remain firm even when opposition was against him. And we know that when he changed to be the servant of the living God, that opposition came mighty strong against him. You know, the attacks that he was under, but his strong character was able to help him to hold up against the opposition that it came to him. Many argued that he wasn't even an apostle at all. To be chosen to be a Christian apostle, a man must have been closely associated with the Lord during his earthly ministry. He must have witnessed the resurrection. And we know that Paul did neither one of these things. I sometimes wonder what it was the reason that Paul hadn't even seen Jesus before this. But there's tells that he didn't. But he persecuted the Christian community. In Galatians chapter 1, there, verse 1, his reading was read today. He defends his apostleship. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The Lord himself endorsed Paul's work in giving the message to the world, especially to the Gentiles. He also believed that he had received assignment to perform a special duty. It had separated him to the gospel of God, Romans 1:1, as it says there. And this separated him to the gospel of God, as the New King James Version. He saw a clear direction for his life. And I pray that do we see a clear direction today for each one of our lives? I wonder that, whether we do that. And he was able to say, this one thing I do. Along with that, he was deeply convinced that God had ordained him to be a preacher of righteousness from his mother's womb. We read that in Galatians 1:15. His past, we know that, reflected on the dark side of his life. He even rejoiced in the brutal deaths of the followers of the way before he became one himself. Many factors during that time equipped him for his future mission as a missionary to the Gentiles. As I said, he became the target of such persecution. The persecutor became the persecuted. We know that we are going to be persecuted soon one day as being children of the living God, that following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be grounded in the truth so that the Holy Spirit will be able to bring these words up to us when we need them to do that. To have the enabling power of God as Paul had to that. And grace was one of his favorite subjects, and that the Lord would give him the tools necessary to accomplish that, to reach others. Romans 1 verse 7 there, with the saving grace and the message of God. And what was that message that he had? It wasn't just for him to relate his own personal experiences, but we know that he did that. But it was that message of salvation that he had to give to everyone. And it originated with God himself and focuses on his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one whom the Old Testament had pointed to centuries ago. We know that the Old Testament prophets promised Christ coming from the very beginning. And then we look at the reference there in Romans 1:2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And in the margin there it calls for an incident in the resurrection, the narrative of Luke 24:27, which we had in today's Sabbath school lesson there, when Jesus walked with the two men that was on the road to Emmaus, and he opened up the scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus was able to silence many of those that were against him just by speaking, by showing his message, by living his message that it had, and it fulfilled the predictions of the Old Testament prophets to the very T. We know that the central figure of the message that Paul had was just not a net man. Paul proclaimed him to be Son of God, which we know today that that is true, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The true doctrines is that Jesus was both the seed of David and the Son of God at the same time. And we know that this doctrine for centuries was hard for anyone to grasp, the coming of Jesus in human flesh. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have maintained that Jesus' divinity and humanity miraculously blended into one. We know from Ellen White, as she states, "This is a mystery of godliness, that Christ should take human nature and by a life of humiliation elevate man in the scale of moral worth with God, to have conferred upon them an honor exceeding that conferred upon the angels. This is the marvel of the heavenly universe, the mystery into which angels desire to look." Sons of Daughters of God, page 22. She also states, "Jesus was a commander of heaven, one equal with God, and yet he condescended to lay aside his kingly crown, his royal robe, and clothed his divinity with humanity. He was to bear the characteristics of the human family and the Jewish race." Signs of the Times, July 30th, 1896. And then let's look at verses 7 through 12 there. 7 through 12. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." See that? Here it reveals the apostle's true feelings toward Rome believers, even yet that he virtually didn't even know them. They were really strangers to him. But he greets them with a few simple words, that meaningful words, that of grace and peace. And if we can use those same words today when we meet others, the grace and peace, to show that we have love for one another with all the contacts that we come into. We know for sure that everyone will not accept the words that we say to them, but yet they are there. But there's three principles in this passage that would give sound personal relationships. One, the word of praise, which Paul gave to the Romans. Intercessory prayer. And three, the expression of spiritual concern. And that spiritual concern Paul had for the Romans, as well as we need to have today for our fellow man. In experience Agrippa's deepest gratitude for what the Lord had done for him, Paul was compelled to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he defines the gospel as the power of God, and was not ashamed of the gospel. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel today ourselves, especially if we are living the word of God and we are keeping his commandments. from its inception, the message of the cross has resistance, and it still has resistance today. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. They could not accept the idea that the Lord would even choose someone that was crucified. Because in Deuteronomy 21:23, their view was, he that is hanged is accursed of God. To the Greeks, the message of the cross was absolute foolishness. Many today, it's foolishness too. In the same appeal that Paul was trying to give then, we need to give today. Paul said it was the power of God to designate any manifestation of divine omnipotence, of mighty work of God. That's that power that God had, as we see there in verses. You can see in verses 16 and 17, as we read them, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. As we read in our studied in our lesson this morning, that we know that we need to have that faith, that saving faith that grow in our lives daily. You know, we see there that the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The believer, that you and I, can take better lives on it, transforming power of Jesus in his righteousness, because we know that the Lord is righteous. We serve a righteous God, and it will be for eternity. We have this experience by faith. Just as in verse 17, the just shall live by faith, and that's taken from Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. A person can find a right relationship with God only by faith, faith alone, that we can believe. All the things that we read in the Word, anything that happens in our lives that we listen to and hear, it is still faith that we need to be able to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem one day soon. We need to have the heart of Christ in our hearts. He has the power to do the acceptable work of God. And Paul was able to say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. We pray that we can hope that we can say that same. And Paul's desire was to make known the power to save anyone who believes. We can have that power today. He experienced the transforming power of the righteousness of God in his own life, and to bring others into the same saving relationship that he was able to have, where his passion was to be the experience also for the Word of God to be in us today also. The righteous shall live by faith, and the righteousness of God. So we just pray that we have that faith that is needed to be children of the living God. That faith will make us messengers here upon this earth, giving the gospel message that has been commissioned for us to do. We know that there's hardships out there in doing it, but if we stray to our guns and we talk the truth and use the Word of God to give the message to others, we know that we can be faithful to the working of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. So I just pray that we will have that righteousness of God in all of our lives today. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we allow Jesus to lead us all the way, even over the rocky roads that we have in each one of our lives. But we know one day soon that road will be smoothed out, for we will have the assurance of eternal life, because we will be with our Savior. So we pray now this morning that we have that power that Paul had, that righteousness of God, to be servants of the living God, that we will do the work that you've commissioned us to do, to be your representatives here, knowing that you could have picked other ways. You could call for the very rocks to cry out to do the work. but you have given that work to a humanity. We know that we have lacked in doing what we need to do, Father, down through the centuries. But we know that the end is near. Prepare us for that day when the persecution will come upon us, when all the things that look dim will be brightened by the coming of our Lord. That brightness, the Lord coming in the clouds, the retinue of angels with him, and that we that are alive will be caught up with the ones coming from the grave and put on immortality in the twinkling of an eye to be with our Lord forever and ever. That is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.